It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Back in June, Deidre DeGeer won the Democratic primary to face Republican Paul Pate for Iowa's Secretary of State in the general election in November. She joins us this half hour to introduce herself a little bit, tell us about some of the ways she would act differently in the office of Secretary of State. Deidre DeGeer, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to reach out to more voters.
You have an interesting background. You're not a native Iowan. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up and why you came to Iowa.
Of course. So I'm originally from Mississippi, and I went to high school in Oklahoma and kind of made my way on up here to go to Drake University. I was a broadcast news and politics major. And I often tell this story, you know, after the first winter, I was convinced I was going to head back down south, but I really just was encapsulated by the people in Iowa and the opportunities that existed here. I really started to learn who I was as a woman, who I was as a business owner, and it, you know, after graduating, it just really made sense to stay. And I chose to make Iowa my home, and I'm just really excited to be here in a state that was able to choose me in the Democratic primary, and I'm just super excited about that.
Give us an idea of the background that you have that makes you qualified to be Iowa's Secretary of State.
Sure. So my entire career, I've been the end user of the Secretary of State's office. I started my business my senior year at Drake to help other businesses. And during that time, it was the brink of the recession, so many people were becoming entrepreneurs. They had no choice. And they had great products and services, but they didn't necessarily know how to market themselves. And I just wanted to help with that. I had a job at that time and decided to do this part-time. And I also understood that those business owners also couldn't afford $100 to $150 an hour for somebody to help them with that. And so I charged them minimal costs, sometimes free, because I just felt so passionately about the work that they were doing. Well, 5 years ago, I got an excellent opportunity to start doing some small business development work and helping those businesses and nonprofits get started and grow. And I've just had a tremendous experience doing that. And it warms my heart to know that our businesses have folks out there looking out for them that have got their back. And so when I think about the Secretary of State's office and that being the gateway for anyone wanting to do business in our state, I think that it should not only be that gateway, but we know that our business owners have to go there because they can't get a bank account unless they do. Mm-hmm. And so in addition to being that gateway for businesses, I think it should also connect our businesses to those resources that exist on a city level, a county level, a state level, those resources that are going to help them grow. You know, we see 3 to 5 years, sometimes businesses kind of go into a little bit of a slump because they need an ignition, an ignitement of resources to help them get to the next level. And maybe it's monetary resources, maybe it's education, maybe it's refining some of their practices. But we've got to look out for our business owners so that whatever storms are coming as it relates to the economy, they're going to be able to weather those storms. And so I often start with that part because that's, you know, the role of the Secretary of State that people know least about. And then there's voting, the one that people know most about.
Right.
And so I worked on the Obama campaign statewide in 2012. I was a campus organizer in 08 and had a glorious time doing that, and have also run some school board races too. And in all of my jobs and campaigns, just working behind the scenes, my job was to go find the voters, to go connect with those hard-to-reach populations. And so I've heard every excuse that exists under the sun as to why people choose not to vote. But I want to change their minds. I want to change their minds and get them reengaged in our voter process because it means so much to me and it means so much to our state to hear the true voice of the people that are out there, whether it's folks with disabilities, our communities in poverty, our students. We need to have a comprehensive movement of people going to the polls. Mm-hmm. And when I look at 13% of folks turning out in our primary election, I know we can do better than that.
Right, right. The Des Moines Register, look at their data, more than 279,000 people cast ballots on June 5th, the primary. That is the highest turnout since 2014. Mm-hmm. Still, as you point out, about 13% of Iowans casting ballots. So if elected Secretary of State, what would you do to increase turnout? Why is it still at 13%?
Right. One thing that's really important to me, and this is something that I take thematically throughout my entire life, is to meet people where they're at. And when it comes down to voter engagement, you know, people may be concerned about the issues that are going on in their community, but they don't always look to their vote to make a difference in that factor. And so I want to make sure that we're connecting with voters throughout the entire state, telling them when to vote, where to vote, how to vote. You know, there's about 2.4 million eligible voters in our state, and about 1.9 million are active. I want to go find that 400,000 folks and invite them to be a part of the process. I want to make sure that our students are engaged in the process, whether they be college students or high school students, because those high school students, you know, that's our up-and-coming voter bloc, and it's important for them to go out and vote. And you know, there was a study that was done. Target, their research division, did a study a couple of weeks ago, and that study was around Parkland and the influx of voter participation and voter registration throughout the United States as a result of that. And we've seen increases throughout the United States. You know, in Pennsylvania, about 16% of 18 to 29-year-olds are getting more engaged in registering to vote. And our neighbors in Minnesota, about 4.5%. But when we look at Iowa, we're at a net loss, 0.3% net loss. And we've got folks out there that I know are that the 18 to 29-year-old block, they want to use their voice. They want to get engaged. We just need a Secretary of State that's going to connect with them, whether it be social media, whether it be through TV, connecting with people in spaces where we know they're already going to be. And I think that's going to go a long way. I think that's going to go a long way because we're not in the climate right now where we need to be pushing, oh, it's your duty to vote, it's your right to vote. You should be ashamed by not exercising your right to vote. We're in a climate now where we've got to give people a reason to vote again. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we have to connect with them at their level.
If you just joined us, Deidre DeGier is with me, Democratic candidate for Iowa Secretary of State, taking this half hour to get to know Deidre and some of the issues that concern her most. Let's talk about, a voter turnout closely related to, I'm sure you would say, the voter ID law, the new one, the Secretary of State, I'm glad you pointed out that the business aspects of the Secretary of State's job, that is often overlooked. We concentrate a lot on the fact that the Secretary of State is the State Commissioner of Elections and supervises Iowa's 99 county auditors in the administration of our election laws, our administrative rules. In 2017, then-Governor Terry Branstad signed a new voter identification law here in Iowa. As you're well aware, but I'll just remind our listeners, under the new law, voters have to show a government-issued ID, like a driver's license, or have another registered voter vouch for them, or cast a provisional ballot. Also, the new law eliminated the ability to check a box for a straight party voting. Also, last week, to add to this, an Iowa judge blocked the provision of the law that shortened the time period for early voting from, I think, 40 days to 29 days. Currently, this Secretary of State, Paul Pate, is appealing that decision. Tell us what your read is on this new voter ID law.
You know, I think you did an excellent job summarizing the meat of what is going on with that law, but I know some listeners are probably having a difficult time following, and it's confusing. And if the listeners are having a difficult time following, think about the uninformed voter who wants to participate for the first time and how that's going to impact their ability to vote. I think for me, the biggest thing around the changes that Paul Pate initiated is that we're convoluting the voter process, and for no reason. There is no reason that we can get from his office that makes sense as to why we're convoluting the voter process. You know, voting is our most fundamental right that we have. I mean, we can blog on Facebook. We can go to county party events. We can do all of the things that people normally do as it relates to politics, but at the end of the day, what draws the line in the sand is the vote. And I think every eligible voter in our state has to have clean access to the polls. And we shouldn't be confusing it, because when you confuse the situation, you push people away. And
okay. Okay.
Let
me just have Paul Pate speak to the point of why he thinks we need this voter ID law. In his own words, back in February of 2017, before the law became law, it was a bill, I spoke with the Secretary of State about what was then just a bill. I asked him to give us instances and numbers on voter fraud in the state. That was, if you remember, of course, a reason why lawmakers were arguing that the law was necessary. I'd like to have you react to this, because this is what he said.
Well, again, what we're discussing here is not what my bill is focused on. My bill is focused on modernizing the process.
But you also said it was to eliminate fraud and human error, and I'm just asking you for the data, where the data comes from.
Let me finish. Mm-hmm. We have over a dozen cases that we are pursuing prosecution in, those counties are. We also literally have hundreds and hundreds of people who are registering on election day that we get kicked back, that their addresses aren't either legitimate or real. That's another issue. But based on what we have for technology today, we don't have the means to be able to follow up on every single person that's getting an absentee ballot to find out if they really are who they say they are. Compare that to Colorado, who just recently reported 21,000 cases on their mail ballots that they disallowed because the signatures didn't match appropriately. So they said they're not counting them. They have a mechanism. We have none. So I'm not leading this bill based on just fraud. I'm leading this bill on how to modernize the process, how to help the human error factor, how to speed the election process, and frankly, to make sure we don't have any fraud potential if we can, by putting the safeguards in before the ballot goes into the box rather than finding out after the fact.
Deidre DeGier, what do you think about the case Paul Pate made there in February of 2017?
Well, you know, those 12 cases that he talked about 5 weeks ago on television, about 5 or 6 weeks ago, he said there is no voter fraud in our state. And so all of this that he committed to, all of the time and energy, taxpayer dollars that was committed to trying to find voter fraud, we find out that there isn't, but we still have this bill. And so when he speaks to modernizing the voter process, to me, this is what modernization means. I say that I want to meet people where they're at and I want to connect with voters. Well, in order to do that, that means I need to have good data. What I would like to happen in our state is that we have automatic voter registration. So when someone goes to get an ID or a driver's license, that they're automatically registered to vote. If they want to opt out, they can. But all eligible voters going into that DOT's office, getting those documentations, I think it's important that they're automatically opted in to registering. What that is going to do is give me the cleanest data on who our voters are and where they live. Because when you go to the DOT, I mean, you're kind of coming correct. You're coming with all of the documentation that you need in order to get that driver's license or that ID. Otherwise, they're going to turn you away. You know, when we're registering voters on a grassroots level, sometimes it may be difficult to read their handwriting. Sometimes a voter may not remember their apartment number or things along those lines. And so, you know, I think what will curb some of those inaccuracies is meshing up our data with what the DOT has and staying current on that, because to me, that is what advancing technology means. And as it related to the signatures that he talked about and verifying the signatures, there was no infusion of technology to do that in this particular bill. And so I think we just got to get back to basics. It's obvious and apparent there was no reason for that. And it's not adding value. You know, my parents always taught me, if you're not adding value to a situation, then you probably should reconsider what you're doing in that situation. And this particular legislation did not add value. It's confusing people. And now, less than 100 days before our general election in our state, where we've got record number of folks running, we don't know if early voting is going to be at 40 days or 29 days. Mm-hmm. We don't know all of the rules and regulations that's going to be applicable to this election.
Do you think
and that's not a good space to be in?
Do you think that the current law, as many Democrats would say, is suppressing the vote in favor of the Republicans?
You know, I don't know that it's suppressing the vote because that term itself is subjective. But what I do know is it's not helping. It's not helping. And when you're talking about someone's fundamental right, if you're going to change it, then there should be a very good reason why you're changing the process in which they exercise that fundamental right.
So let me
and
get this straight.
I see no good reason.
You're not against having a voter ID, a photo ID used as part of voting. You're just saying you would like a different way employed.
Yeah, so to me, the infusion of the voter ID doesn't make sense to me. And so I'm not a proponent of that. I am a proponent of secure elections. I am a proponent of having equal access to the ballot box. You know, it hurts my heart that we spent so much time trying to find voter fraud in the state of Iowa, all the while the true impediment on our elections was overseas. And that still yet has fully been addressed in our state. And so I think that at the end of the day, for me, the current priorities in the Secretary of State's office is not advantageous for the Iowa voter. Mm-hmm. And I think if we get back to basics, allowing people to vote in such a way that's not confusing, that's straight to the point, but also verifiable and also secure, I think we'll be in a good space.
Right. We have just a few minutes left, so perhaps brief answers. I've got a couple of questions I want to get to. You mentioned the foreign element here. You're, of course, referring to Russian meddling as Iowa's Secretary of State. Tell me your plans for dealing with possible meddling from foreign powers.
So real quick, we know that technology around hacking and meddling electronically in the elections process is ever-evolving every single day. And so for me, I don't think it's enough for the Secretary of State to have security clearance around this. I think that there needs to be someone in that office dedicated to being our watchdog, to ensuring that no one is infringing on our data or compromising our data, whether it be our voter files or the actual votes that people cast. There has to be an election security expert that's hired within the Secretary of State's office to protect the integrity of our election.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned record numbers. Well, in the primary, we had it, even though it's a low turnout, relatively speaking. There's a record number of women running for office across mm-hmm. the country this year, this primary. You are a woman, but also the first African-American candidate to be nominated in a major political party for statewide office here in Iowa. Why do you think there's a record number of women running for office across the country?
You know, I think that women are choosing to use their gifts and their talents in a way that is a little bit different and unusual in this climate. But I think it adds so much value. I mean, you know, I was at a conference not too long ago when people said women are reclaiming their power by running for office. And I say, well, women have always had the power. We just use it in different ways. And so now we think it's time for us to step up and represent the communities that mean so much to us. And I think it's going to add so much value at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I understand you have a grandmother who was an office holder as well?
I did, yes.
Tell us about her.
So I that was actually the first race that I worked on when I was in high school. My grandma was running for elections commissioner in Yazoo County, Mississippi, I should say. Yazoo City is the city in which she lives. And so I would go from Oklahoma to volunteer for her and help her out, do some graphic design work for her. But that race meant so much to me in hindsight. She was making me work during that time. It was the last thing that I wanted to be doing as a high school student. But in hindsight, she really instilled in me the value of the vote and how it's important to include people. And she was a teacher and was trying to teach her students to get engaged in the process, and they really weren't buying it. And so she chose another route. I'm going to go find your parents and get them engaged, and hopefully this knowledge will trickle down. And so she was an excellent beacon of light, getting folks engaged of all ages in her county, and I'm really proud of her for that work. And I'm glad that she pulled me along for the ride.
Deidre DeGier, when I look at your social media, I see you self-identify as a foodie. Of course,
yes.
We're coming up on the Iowa State Fair. I imagine you'll be there campaigning, I would think.
I will be eating first and campaigning second. There's just so many options.
Okay.
Thank goodness they have an app to help me organize my options.
Here's your chance. Suggest it. Tell us one of your favorite foods, or perhaps one of your favorite foods or things known at the Iowa State Fair. Deep-fried Twinkies. Looking at the website today, we saw deep-fried pecan pie on a stick. Are those to your taste?
Ooh, that one sounds good. I'm not typically a deep fried person, but deep fried pecan pie, that sounds great. But my first go-to when I get to the fair is my turkey leg. That's my go-to.
There you
I
go.
Know some
oh,
of
yeah.
the veggies out there aren't going to like that, but I've got to go find the biggest, baddest turkey leg out there.
I see on your Twitter feed also, you have cows?
I do. So my husband and I don't protest to be a farmer by any stretch of the imagination, but my husband and I have a small herd of cattle in Oklahoma on his family's farm. And so we'll go back and forth to tend to them. But my brother-in-law is the full-time guy holding it down for all of us.
Okay.
But yeah.
Excellent. We've got to go. Thank you for this short conversation. Deidre DeGier is the Democratic candidate for Iowa's Secretary of State. Very quickly, in the few seconds, how do you like campaigning? How does it suit you?
I love it. The people move me and they energize me, and I couldn't do it without them.
Deidre DeGier, Democratic candidate for Iowa's Secretary of State. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And that does it for today's program. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Caitlin Harrop. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We always welcome your comments and questions. You can contact us anytime via email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.